Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel lesson which has been read. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It is fitting that Trinity Sunday is always celebrated the Sunday after Pentecost, as well, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring about true faith, and only by the gift of the Holy Spirit would we ever confess the doctrine of the Trinity. Thus, today is a wake-up call for all Christians, because today is all about God, who He is, and how He's chosen to reveal Himself to us. And He has chosen to reveal Himself through His Son, for God can only be found in the incarnate, humiliated, crucified, resurrected, glorified, and returning Jesus, the Christ. Apart from the cross, Luther would say, all we find is false gods. And the theology of glory is always looking for this false god to make them happy, because it wants power and it wants glory. Our reason cannot begin to fathom the complexities of the Trinity, and yet we confess this Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity as fact by faith alone. Now, give you some background here. The reason we confess creedal statements, such as the one made in the Athanasian Creed today, which dates back to the late 5th century, early 6th century. It actually comes out of a French monastery. It wasn't a council that put this together, the Athanasian Creed. And yet it becomes one of the accepted three ecumenical creeds, one of those that unite all Christians. And so it's named in honor of St. Athanasius, because you find Athanasius popping up at the Council of Nicaea. At the Council of Nicaea, which takes place in 325 AD, and I know you're really interested in a history lesson this morning, but there you go. 325 AD, Athanasius is the recording secretary for the Bishop of Alexandria. And he's there when the issue of Arianism was being debated. Arianism was a teaching, a heresy that was being taught in early Christianity that was saying that the Son is a lesser God. He was created first. He's the first created being. Arius's disciples speak at the Council of Nicaea. Arius, there's three that show up, and they are soundly rejected as teaching heresy. And by 381, what we confess as the Nicene Creed is finalized. And so that's what's going on there. It was Constantine, he legalizes Christianity with the Edict of Tolerance around 313, 315 AD, which makes it, you don't die for being a Christian at that point. Although after he dies, it goes back to killing Christians again, but that's another issue. He's confused by all the different confessions of the Christian faith. If he was confused, can you imagine how he'd feel if he was alive today? Anyways, before the Council of Nicaea, we have the Apostles' Creed. Now, the Apostles' Creed actually flows out of the liturgy of the church. It's called the Apostles' Creed. I hope that's not a tornado warning. It's called the Apostles' Creed because it's taken from the Apostles' writings, but it comes into use in baptismal rites by 90 AD. It's already being used, and so we see that in baptismal rites already, and that's the creed. That's the shortest creed, the one we use in Luther's Small Catechism, and then today's text is an even earlier creed of the Christian Church. This Matthew account, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He wants us to teach everything He's commanded Him, right? And so we have this as a creedal statement, where the Trinity is clearly taught, as we have in the name of the Father, in the name, singular, and then we have plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'll stop with the lecture at this point, I hope. We'll see. So, whoever desires to be saved, we confess, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Now, this Catholic word with the lowercase c means universal Christian, not Rome. Okay? Just want to clear that up too. And whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. And if your head is starting to shrink and to implode, that's okay, because none of us can understand the doctrine of the Trinity. And every time we think we've got it, we're wrong. It's really frustrating. I remember as a young pastor, we had a book from CPH that I thought was exciting. I mean, it taught the doctrine of the Trinity like an apple. It had the peeling and the meat and the core, and only later to find out that's a heresy. And partialism, I believe, is the name of the heresy. And so where each part of the Trinity makes up a whole, but that's not the way it is. There are three and yet one. And yet we can say that when Jesus dies on the cross, God died, but the Father didn't die, and the Spirit didn't die, but God died. And again, my head starts to explode. Right? And this becomes the struggle of the Christian faith, where we have to bring into submission our own will, our own reason, and our own strength that we already confessed today is really not that good. We're poor, miserable sinners, right? Who have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. I remember as a young pastor, I used to get frustrated. I was shocked, almost scandalized by some of the issues that would come into the office. And then I finally woke up. It wasn't the members that were wrong. It was the pastor that was thinking wrong because I wasn't called to work in heaven. I was called to work among sinners. And this is the amazing thing, is if we all publicly meant our confession today that we're poor, miserable sinners, we've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we've done and by what we've left undone, then why is it, and far be it from me to be shocked when you prove it, or I prove it? Right? And yet we act that way. And that again is pietism, which is a problem, because the only perfect person is Jesus. Thanks be to God. And we, well, just like my kids when they were growing up and my grandkids now, they never like to be told. We never like to be told what? No, not just no, but because I said so. That's not good enough, right? Because I said so, that's not good enough. My reason wants to know why. We want to figure it out. Just look at the Garden of Eden. Pastor Rafa got to read a large section of Genesis 1, where we have the creation account, and Genesis 2, continue the creation account, but Genesis 2 continues on giving us a little more detail, a little more focus on it the second time. It's not a second creation account, it's just giving us more detail. And you have there in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God speaking to Adam, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Why? Because I said so. Reason, encouraged by the devil, leads Adam and Eve to bite into the forbidden fruit and bring death to themselves and all their descendants. Since that awful day, sin and death have seemed to bring to be ruling in our world. As from conception, all the descendants of Adam and Eve are sinners, and because of our sinful nature, we sin much daily. And prove just how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't believe me? Look into the mirror of God's law. Just look at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. Vatican II literally allows for the possibility of three. Vatican II says that if you believe in the God of creation, as the Muslims and the children of Abraham do, and then you believe in the same God. There's a little problem with that confession, right? See, Jesus says no one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you want to accept the Father in creation and deny the Son in creation, you've denied the Father in creation. Because as John tells us in Genesis, everything was made And as John tells us in John 1, going back and telling us about the beginning, everything that was made through him. That is Jesus, the Word made flesh who dwells among us. So you can't separate the Father from the Son this unnatural way. And therefore the Muslims and the Jews do not worship the same God as the Christians. And any Christian that's willing to accept that is obviously forsaken the Son. You following me? It's really that simple, and yet it's that frustrating. Think about it. Right now, with all the craziness in our woke mentality, you have a young boy in Idaho, a 17, 18-year-old young boy, who bothered to say, and I don't know what context, why he said it, what caused it. He said that men are men and women are women, and he's been banned from graduating, from walking in the graduation. He'll get his diploma, but he's not allowed to walk. And the company he was going to work for told him they would send their offer. They're not going to employ him now. Because he dared to say what the scriptures say, and what we as Christians have to hold to, is that God created the male and female. And this concept of gender that is fluid, that is based upon my feelings, is nothing but foolishness. It is. Have you ever talked with somebody about that? Ever had the discussion and watched them dance around a circle and say the same thing over and over again, but say nothing? It's a delight. Right? Oh, I feel like a woman. Well, how does a woman feel? What is a woman to feel? How do you know what a woman feels like? You've never been a woman, have you? I am. I'm a woman. See, I'm a woman. But you're not. How crazy is this? And if you tell somebody it's wrong, you're the one who's wrong. I don't understand it. It's insanity. It's actually one of the older heresies, connected, a close cousin of Arianism. It's called Gnosticism. It's where we put the spirit and its feelings and desires as good and the flesh as evil. So anything that comes out of your feelings and desires is okay. That later leads to antinomianism, which means the law of God is unnecessary, and we can do anything we want in our body because it's not the body that matters. And that doesn't make any sense, but that's also why the hymnal committee, and Pastor Rafa did a really nice paper on this years ago, on why the hymnal committee and the dismissal from communion added body and soul, that he keep you body and soul unto eternal life. Because God's the one who created the body, and he created the body for a specific and important reason. Because it's made in the image of him, not just your soul. These are important facts. We don't get to fudge on them. And so, as we have to reject these anti-Trinitarian heresies of the Muslims and the Jews and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and our Unitarian friends and our UCC friends who reject Jesus as God and our other churches who are throwing Jesus off the boat. You know, Jesus was a good teacher. Well, how can he be a good teacher if he claimed to be God? He was a liar then if he's not God. It's really that simple. They don't even think through the implications of their silly, stupid statements. And Trinity Sunday is a day to think on that. Because it not just impacts the faith, it impacts the faith we hand down from generation to generation. It impacts Jesus' command to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teach them all things I have commanded. We don't get to change the things he's commanded. So today again is all about faith. And faith has to say to our reason, and our sinful reason is indeed, stop and hear the word. Listen to the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. Today, we come to the Lord's table. He says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. He doesn't bother to tell us how any more than he explains the Trinity. He just says, is. And so in God-given faith, we come and we take it. Why? For the forgiveness of our sins, because we know we need it. Again, baptizing. You see, baptizing and teaching and receiving the Lord's Supper and hearing the words of absolution and listening to a sermon, they're not exciting. If only we could go back to last week and there'd be a rushing wind through these open windows that are keeping us cool right now, or tongues of flame on top of my head and you all hearing me speak in different languages that you could understand. Oh, how exciting that would be. Our flesh would get bored of that too. Think about the stuff that you thought the first time you had it was amazing, and the next time, and the next time, and pretty soon it was like, eh, that's blue. That's exactly what would happen. But I know baptism and the Lord's Supper and the proclamation of the Word of God, the means of grace, it just doesn't itch our ears. It's not as exciting as we would like it to be. But it's the only vehicle God has chosen to work through for our salvation. You want to know where God is? You want to know where the Son is for you? You want to hear you want the Holy Spirit to work? You have to be in His Word and you have to receive His gifts. It's that simple. That's why Pastor Rafa and I spend so many days each week going to people's homes, going to different places to take them communion when they can't be here, so they can have what God wants them to have: a clean conscience and the forgiveness of their sins. So when the church gathers for worship, we have one thing in common with everybody on the planet. All who enter are sinners in need of salvation and a Savior. All are dead in their trespasses and sin and need life. All are orphaned and need adoption. If you feel you've matured past this in your Christian faith, you're not just wrong, you're dead wrong. Think about what we confess today. We confessed our sins, not our neighbors, not the people we talk to. Our sins, those known to some because we've committed them against them, and those known only to you and God. Those that keep you up late at night because you can't get your mind out of thinking about the sins that you've committed. We are all enemies of God, deserving only hell and eternal damnation. And so I pray that we are starting to see our genuine need for the absolution, for the forgiveness of your sins, the very sins which is a cause of our own idolatry. The idolatry that we have, be it stuff or feelings, personal relationships, or any other thing that we put before God. Thanks be to God that Jesus, the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, has come and joined himself to us and has taken all our sins, every last one of them, and bore them on a tree. You see, your sins are either on the Lamb of God who has taken them away in his death and resurrection, or they're still on you. And this is what we were confessing at the end of the Nicene or the Athanasian Creed today, that on judgment your works will follow you, kind of thing, right? How does it say it exactly? I want to get this right this time. And concerning their own deeds, and those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. How do you have good works before God? By the work of the Son through you. Joined to Jesus, all your works then are good. All the tainting, all the nastiness of sin is removed from them because the Son has taken it all. And so you're over there with the sheep. If you come to Judgment Day without the Son, then you're left with the goats going, when didn't we do this? What do you mean? That's it. And so we come to the Lord's house and we rejoice in the gifts that He gives us. You see, either baptism washes our soul clean as the Holy Spirit creates faith in us, or we are dead in our trespasses and sins still. Either Jesus' body and blood are offered in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, or it's going to add more time to the church service, even more than my sermon, right? You see, these are God's gifts to us to live in. So by the grace of God through faith, we fallen sinners also confess today one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, and this confession is only given by God. Our reason must come in submission to God's word. So whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith, the universal Christian faith. So we confess that anyone who doesn't believe this is not a Christian, and thus rejected God and his free gift. Please understand, you don't have to believe in the word Trinity, because it's not in the scriptures. But you do have to believe what it confesses. This is all part of what Jesus says when he says, "And teach them all things I have commanded you." Only through God-given faith will we cry out, well, like the father of the child in the scriptures, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And know that Jesus has done more than help. He has forgiven us our sins and given us life everlasting. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.